This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Thank you. Please be seated. Happy almost St. Patrick's Day. I can see Michael here is pretty lined up. We got a couple greens here today, so I might be... Drinking a green beer tomorrow somewhere. So I wanted to talk about something kind of totally different. I wonder how many people in here, has anybody heard of appreciative inquiry or the appreciative way? Anybody? No? Let me put on my glasses. No? Okay, well, it's something I heard about. I wanted to introduce it to you because I think it's a kind of a good tool for churches. Anyhow, there's this idea, I forget the guy's name who actually came up with it. It's called appreciative inquiry. It's based on the idea of asking questions, like positive questions, to help an organization discover their strengths and to kind of transform their organization. I got introduced to it by a priest named Robert Voyle, Father Rob. He's a priest psychologist. I think he's from Australia. And he uses that as a tool to help churches and especially church leaders. He does training. And he took this idea and then kind of made it for churches. His is called Appreciative Way. And you can go online, type in Appreciative Way, Rob Voyle, it'll come up. There's all sorts of good stuff there. And I took it after I stopped working in Colorado when I, quote, retired, you know, one of those things, because you needed it to be an interim if I wanted to be an interim priest, which I guess I'm sort of an interim here. So anyhow, the idea is to ask kind of positive questions again to help the organization, help the church. And he's invited at times, other than his training, he will also go into churches if he's invited. And he'll go for, say, like Lent and do classes every Sunday type of thing. And he'll come into church and he's got a really loud voice and he says, "What in God's name is going on here?" And people all go, "What the frick are we getting into for the next 4 weeks?" The idea is, what is going on here in God's name, right? What are we doing? What is the mission of this church? And if it isn't God-centered, it should be. That's what he's really asking. And he's asking that of every ministry in the church. So after this, you know, introduction, etc., the whole idea is to go into your ministry groups, the meetings you have, the church groups you have, and ask the question, what's going on in God's name in this ministry? Or, and then you can change it. You know, you can make it a little bit nicer and say things like, you know, where's God's grace in this ministry? Where's God's grace or blessing in this meeting today? And it just changes your whole idea of what you do into like kind of a positive thing. Basically, organizational help. What do we do right? What do we do well? And what can we do better? And can just really change a whole church. So I thought for the second Sunday of Lent, the appreciative way question would be, where's God's grace in Lent? Something I want you to think about. That's the inquiry. So where's God's grace in Lent for you? So I wanted to walk through some of the other things he says. One of the kind of key things is what our focus is becomes our reality. What our focus is becomes our reality in our lives here and elsewhere, right? Whatever we focus on becomes our reality. If you wake up or you come to church and your focus is sin, right, as some churches really are, then the sin becomes the reality. That's your whole focus, right? If you change it, like I did in my question, if your focus is grace, or our focus is grace, and grace becomes our reality. What a difference. You go from a very kind of negative way of thinking to, wow, what grace is in my life right now? What grace is in my life here in Lent? So another thing he says, the pure light of grace, in the pure light of grace, you are free to sin and free not to sin, right? If you have freedom, you're free to do one or the other. And he says, it's in that light of grace or freedom that sin becomes uninteresting and loses its power. It's kind of like, you know, your young son or daughter, your teenage son or daughter, dad or mom, can we have a glass of wine at dinner like you do, or can we have a beer? Our family, we said, yeah, go ahead. And you know what? Then they didn't go out and like hide and do it and all that stuff like I did when I was young, right? So, you know, it kind of lost the power of being something that was verboten, right? So it's just kind of that idea. And so where's God's grace in Lent? And years ago, I was learning the appreciative way, like I was saying, and I worked with a spiritual direction client. Person came to me and said, I have a Lent discipline, but I want to try something different. So we were just kind of wondering what we could do, what he thought he could do. And he said, I said, what do you usually do? And he said, I take the Ten Commandments and I reflect on how I failed to keep them during Lent. I was doing appreciative inquiry, and I said, well, it's back to this idea of kind of negative to positive. Why don't you take the Ten Commandments and look at them, at each commandment, see what blessing that has given you in your life. And he accepted that invitation and told me it was a really good Lent because I thought of the blessings. You know, what am I doing right? Right? What am I, where are the blessings that have come from that? For instance, if you take the first one, right, only God is your God, right? One true God. So all the other gods in your life, those pulls to do things, you know, how are people looking at me? That's over there. That's not your focus. Your focus is on your one true God. Or money. Money's your focus. It's so focused on that you just forgot. Who gives you all that grace, right? You do the work, but who gave you those gifts and the talents and the hard work to do things? God gave you all that. It's grace. And then luckily, well, coincidentally and blessedly, I also read Richard Rohr. I think I spoke to you about him. He's a Franciscan priest who's retired, but there's a daily meditation. And his whole week, last week, it was on grace. Thank you, God. You're like right into it. And so he writes a lot about grace, and especially last week. So I wanted to read you a few things that Richard Rohr puts out there. First one is, God's grace and mercy throws the whole reward and punishment system out the window. It's kind of going back to the guy that was studying how he failed his Ten Commandments. So there's no such thing as deserving or earning anything. All is grace. And then he goes on. You got to think about that one. Because we grew up kind of brainwashed, some of us, right? That I deserve this or I don't deserve this because of what I've done. It's all grace. And thank God for the Episcopal Church that really highlights that. The challenge for us is to open our eyes, hands, ears, minds, and hearts to reveal the truth of God's real presence, God's grace. When we open ourselves to grace, we're changed by grace. Again, back to this idea, where's grace in my life? Or where's grace in Lent? To refocus on that question, where is God's grace in Lent? And then he has a good one at the end, last He says, grace is not something that God gives. Grace is who God is. Grace is God's official job description. I like that one. Grace is what God does to keep alive forever all things that God has created in love. God has created in love. This idea of grace, grace just emanates from God. And if you start meditating on that, it'll just change your life, right? It's not what is God doing over in Gaza? People are getting killed. It's not that. It's not negative. It's the people who feel the grace that go out and help the people in Gaza, right? Now, it's terrible. I mean, let's be honest. So, but those, it calls us through grace to do things for others. Use our eyes, ears, hands, feet, heart to go forward. And finally, so I'm thinking about all this. I go to yoga every Saturday. I do yin yoga. If anybody do yoga, I know some people do here. Yin yoga is the stretching yoga. It's the calm stretching. It's not the vinyasa, the hard stuff where you're sweating or the hot. I don't do any of that anymore. But the calm stretching. And the teacher always asks us a question, the same question as we're beginning class. What is your intention today? And my intention is the same every week. To be stretched out, to kind of feel more mellow, and really that kind of opens up your heart and mind to other things, right? Elevates you. And I always feel better after class, every time I do. And at the end of the class, the teacher always comments that we need to thank ourselves for allowing ourselves 1 hour to practice yoga for that, for the week, basically, or for the day. And I think her question is appropriate here at church. And I think it kind of aligns with this idea of appreciative way, this idea, what's our intention, right? What's our intention coming in here to church every Sunday? Are we here to worship the Lord? Are we here to open our minds and hearts to the grace that God's given us? Are we here to count our blessings? Those type of things. And ask those appreciative inquiry questions, those positive questions that open ourselves. I mean, I know, I see the grace that's here at St. Joseph's. But do you? That's what I'm trying to get at. And then think for a moment, where is God's grace in Lent, right? For me, for my family, for this community, right? And then pay attention to those questions in Lent as we walk through these next few weeks. And then her end comment, the teacher's end comment, is to thank ourselves. We do need, it's kind of nice to thank yourself to say, well, I got up this morning and I came. I generally see people leave very happy. I know when I didn't go to church, I didn't like it. I didn't feel good, So it's the same kind of with yoga. When I come to yoga and I do it, I feel good at the end. When I come to church, as even in the pews, I feel good that I do it because I took an hour for myself, right? So those things are, so pay attention to those questions, the ones in Lent. Where is God's grace in Lent? And then take Lent seriously, but take grace more graciously. Remember that Jesus came to give us life and to set us free with grace in love. Amen. Amen.